The IPPI process is a logical way to organize the planning and execution of an online campaign. It consists of five stages, namely, identify, plan, produce, implement, and evaluate. It should be done in order, and each step is important. It seems like common sense, but you'd be surprised at how uncommon common sense is in the world of online marketing and promotion. Much of what is briefly discussed here is covered in greater detail in many of the other sections of this text. I list these steps here succinctly so it may serve as a quick reference of the IPPI process.
In short, the IPPI process stands for Identify, Plan, Produce, Implement, and Evaluate. Most people actually only think about produce and implement. Some people will go as far as to say plan, produce, and implement. But the entire process, you need to, before you get started, identify your objectives and understand what is going on in social media at the time. Come up with a plan that includes your strategy and define success as far as which metrics you will measure. Then you produce your assets based on your strategy and your objectives. Then you implement your assets based on the plan. And then you evaluate how things went and write things down of what you will do differently in the future. Let's dive into more detail. Before you start your campaign, you should be constantly looking and reading the landscape, or in this text, reading the seascape of what is going on. You should understand the general channels that are out there, the types of users that are on those different channels, what's expected, and what to avoid. Now, there will be times when channels will pop up or become relevant to your campaign that are kind of niche that you might not be aware of. They're not the general channels. And so you can use this as a preparatory thing to a campaign that you are about to start. But generally, reading the seascape should be happening constantly and should be part of your daily routine as you identify changes in the marketplace, changes in the seascape, things that are going to disrupt and might ripple through and cause shifts in how people use social media. Then immediately prior to a campaign, before you get started with anything, before you decide where you're going to be or what you're going to do, you need to decide two main things under your objectives. You need to decide what your message is. What is it that you're trying to say? You should have a singular message, and that message should be able to be clearly communicated in a very succinct way. This is something that you need to understand in any type of advertising, in any type of campaign. And so your message is going to be paramount. Who you're saying that message to is also extremely important. Your audience, your intended audience, who you're speaking to, is very important. Now, your audience is defined as the individual that you want to take action. And so you are trying to get someone to do something. And you need to decide what that action is. And those actions should be related to social media. So if your ultimate goal is to convert them to a customer, then you should have some actions that lead up to that, like follow this page or get on my email list or something that will allow them to go down that sales funnel. Now, a sales funnel is an old school marketing term, which is basically talking about how you lead someone from somebody who knows nothing about your brand to somebody who is a fan and consumer of your product or service. And there are steps along the way. More on that later, except you need to understand that each one of those steps should be tied to some kind of type of action. And then your timing is also important, and your timing ties into your actions and your audience. Your timing is based on what is the most likely time that your audience will be able to perform that action, or be most likely to perform that action. Meaning, if you want somebody to, say, call you or go to a website, and you're advertising on the radio, which they're most likely to listen to during their commute time, that's not the best situation for that, because most people are not going to go while they're driving down the freeway to a website. Now, if your audience is on public transport and is likely to have a smartphone or a connected tablet of some kind, then your audience dictates that that might be a good time to do that thing, right? And so if you want somebody to perform an action, you want to time that request, that ask, to match your audience's most likely opportunity to do that thing, Right. And so if it's going to be in their office or in their home or whatnot, you need to think about what they do during the day, when they're doing those things, and when they're around the type of materials or the type of technology that they would need to do the action that you need them to do. That's timing. Timing is also when you are most likely to have your audience engage with you. Different audiences will spike at different times in their activity on social media. Somebody getting home from work or right after dinner, or as they get up and consume the news for the day, before they go to work, that type of thing. And it kind of depends on who they are and what their habits are. And this is all kind of in your audience profile and what you're trying to figure out. The timing is key on that. Now, they might do different types or different channels of social media at different times during the day, or during the week. And so kind of getting to know that and trying to guesstimate and figure out the best times to do that is a little bit of an experiment, but it's part of your objectives. And you do this before your campaign even starts. Okay. Next, you have your plan. Now, your plan is made up of your strategy and how to define success. Now, your strategy is basically what it is that you're going to do, when, where, and why, right? So let's talk about each one of those, and then we'll talk about metrics. So your strategy is you need to describe your intended audience. You've identified them in the previous stage, but you need to describe them. Write down, even in bullet pointed list, write down what it is that they do, what they think, right? Get psychographic and demographic information as much as you possibly can, the type of activities that they do, the type of media that they consume, their likes and dislikes, you know, things along those lines that are relevant to your campaign. Then where is list the channels that you plan to use. And you want to say why. Justify your decisions. Don't just say, I'm going to use Facebook because everyone is on Facebook, right? You need to say that you're going to use Facebook because your intended audience uses Facebook for a specific reason that matches the objective of your campaign, right? Or there's a high concentration of your intended audience on Pinterest or on Google+. Or on Elo, or on Snapchat, whatever it is, right? And then that's got to match. And so where is the list of the channels that you plan to use, and why, the justification that you're going to use those channels. Now, what is the type of content? Most people actually start with this, and it's the wrong thing to do, okay? List and describe the content or the assets that will be created and shared. That means the images, the infographics, the videos, the motion graphics, the blog posts, the articles, whatever it is that you're going to do, you actually come up with that after you decide the channel, the audience, the objectives of the campaign, the message, all of those things, right? You do that after. You don't say, I'm going to make a video. And then you say, let's see, who would my audience be? And where would I share it, right? That's putting the cart before the horse, okay? The type of content and the type of assets that you will create is derived from the objectives of the campaign and who your audience is and which channels you're going to choose and what you want them to do. So all of this leads up to what type of content you're going to create. When is lay out an implementation schedule for each asset on each channel. Now, you should have come up with a general sketch of this in the timing phase of identify, right? As you're coming up with your objectives, you would study out when the timing is. And this is where you get very specific, right? If you have decided under identify, you've decided that 3 o'clock on weekdays is the best time for your audience to have the most likely interaction with your objectives, your campaign, then in the planning strategy session, you would come out and you would say, okay, so on Monday, I am going to do a status update that points towards this. And on Wednesday, I'm going to do a status update and 3 tweets between the time of 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And on Friday, I'm going to remind everybody with a different status update of the thing that I said on Monday or whatever. What you're going to do is it's very specific of what type of content, whether that be a status update, a tweet, resharing the link, something along those lines, what type of content you're going to be doing and specifically when you're going to be doing that according to the timing section of Identify. Then after you're done doing that, you have who your intended audience is, the list of channels that you plan to use and the justification of that, the list of the types of content or assets that you're going to be created, that you're going to be creating, and when you're going to do those things specifically on an actual schedule for each channel, for each asset on each channel, then you need to define your success, right? And you need to define your success before you implement your campaign, because a lot of times you'll get wowed by things that don't really matter, right? And so if you are sharing something with the intent of having people subscribe to your email list, and you get a bunch of likes and zero email signups, then you have focused on the wrong thing, and you might be able to say, hey, look at all these likes I got, but they're not translating or converting into what you need them to be. So defining successful metrics that are tied to the objectives of your campaign, the actions that you want your intended audience to take, will be the best way to track the success of your objectives, right? Now, there might not be something that is specifically tied to the actual action that you can take, and so you might have to take adjacent metrics that will help you guess whether or not it was successful. But you want to get as close to those actions as you possibly can. Now, in the produce stage, you are taking the assets that you have listed in your plan, and you are going to make them, right? You're going to produce them. You're going to make them happen. This is where you actually design things. You shoot things. You edit things. This is where you create the assets. Now, before you get started, it is often very, very helpful, not always required, but very helpful to do a visual map of the user flow. And this will help you see if there are any gaps. For example, if you have something complicated like an email signup that has multiple stages, or somebody entering a contest, you can say, okay, they need to enter the contest and they need to do this. And you might think, I need to make two different assets. I need to create the graphics for this page and create the graphics for this page. But if you map that out, get it on a whiteboard or a piece of paper, and you draw a little box, first they're going here. They see the status update. All right, so I need a status update. They click on the link. Okay, where does that link go? That link goes to this page. Draw another box. Describe the assets or the things on that page. Photography, design, illustration, copy, anything that is on that page. And then what happens on that page? Oh, they do this and they go there, right? Now you have this visual map, this flow from step to step to step. And then each one of those steps has a breakout of what it is that you need to create, the assets that you need to create. That's a visual map. And then you produce the assets based on your plan and keeping the objectives in mind. You write the copy, you shoot the photos, you create the designs, you do the illustrations, you edit the video, you produce the assets, right? The entire time you should be remembering composition, right? The rules of composition are there for a reason. They're there to help you communicate. And they're there to help you communicate to your intended audience and for the objectives of your campaign. And so keep the objectives of your campaign and your audience in mind as you are creating. For example, if you have an extremely old, audience, then that would affect your typography, right? You're not going to create very fine print for somebody who can't see very well. And so the rules of composition and design and all of that, proximity, alignment, repetition, contrast, flow, color theory, typography, all of those things and everything that goes into that should be at the top of your mind as you're producing and creating these assets. Then, after you have all of your assets, they match your visual map, they meet your objectives, they're designed in a way or produced in a way that will appeal to your target audience, they're designed or produced in a way that will appeal to your intended audience, then you need to implement. This is basically where you execute your plan. You have a schedule. You follow that schedule. That schedule should tell you when and what to release. I'm going to take this asset and I'm going to put it out there at this time according to my schedule. But You don't want to be so rigid in your schedule that you miss opportunities and threats. So there might be something in your campaign that is totally innocuous, and yet something happens in the media that all of a sudden changes the meaning of what your asset or your message might be perceived as. And you need to be aware of that. In addition to that, there might be something that happens in the zeitgeist out there that changes something and gives you an opportunity to leverage an event, leverage something that somebody said or somebody did, and leverage that in your message, right? And so you need to pay very close attention to those two things, threats and opportunities. You also need to pay close attention to your audience. Now, the cool thing about social media is that it's different than traditional advertising in that you have an immediate response. Now, don't take one person as having the opinion for your entire audience. But if you start to see a trend, or if somebody points something out that they don't like, or if something's not working like it should, use that feedback and listen to your audience and react accordingly. It may be that you need to adjust your schedule. It may be that you need to adjust your content. It may be that your entire premise of your campaign is wrong and you need to make some tweaks, which could be pulling the plug and starting from scratch or changing a few things. And so as you are implementing and following the schedule in your plan, stay aware, keep your eyes and your ears open and listen to your audience and watch out for threats and opportunities in the market. After you're done and after your campaign is completed, don't just run away and throw a party and then go on to the next thing. There's valuable information that has happened. There's valuable data there. And you should do a little post-game report, a post-mortem, right? What went well? What went poorly? What could I do better than the next time? You're not looking at what went poorly so that you can place blame, but you're looking at what went poorly so that you can improve, right? And this is extremely important, especially in the seascape of social media, because of the ever-changing nature of the public and social media. And if you take what you learned 5 years ago and continue to apply that to everything that you do, you'll be out of date and your stuff will be very irrelevant and will seem out of place. But if you say, well, 2 years ago this worked on Twitter, and yet the last two campaigns that I did on Twitter, they had a different feel and a different reaction, take note of that and adjust accordingly. Okay? And so that is the IPPI process. In short, you identify what your objectives are and you read the landscape. Then you come up with a plan that includes your strategy and your metrics of what is going to make you successful or not successful. Then you're going to produce the assets, which might include a visual map of what the assets are, and then you make sure that you incorporate your composition into all of those with your audience and your message and your objectives in mind. And then you implement the assets according to the plan, but staying aware and staying awake and keeping your pulse on what's going on. And then you evaluate how it went. Gather anecdotal data, both positive and negative, and the metrics, and decide from those what you're going to do differently or more of in the future.